Hi, I'm George.
I'm Dan.
I'm Rick.
And we are Queer Magnolias,
the podcast.
Each episode, we're going to talk about what it was like growing up gay in the South.
The trials and the tribulations.
The joy and the struggle.
And more importantly, how we became who we are today.
Oh, honey, queer and fabulous.
So come on in, y'all, and get comfortable, Shug.
Kick off your shoes and sit a spell.
And at the end of each episode, we're going to meet up out on the front porch for my favorite part of the podcast,
Happy Hour.
So join us for an all-you-can-eat buffet of cutting up,
foolishness, and carrying on.
Always served with a heaping helping of sass.
And that's a Queer Magnolias guarantee.
Queens we love, some we loathe.
Mm-hmm.
Are they famous or are they infamous?
Yes.
The trials and tribulations of any young queer definitely paves the way for what they'll be known as.
Not guilty,
please.
Hopefully we'll be remembered for the good stuff, because we sure know lips keep them moving behind closed doors, am I right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
In a new segment we like to call Notorious GAY, we are going to get into the queens that are famous or infamous. And as a kickstart, let's talk about the one, the only, John Waters.
Yes.
You guys, when you said we were talking about JW, I thought it was John Wayne. I'm totally not prepared for this.
Well, howdy, tumbleweed.
Well, isn't John Wayne a notorious GAY? King of filth?
She's a notorious anti-GAY. Yes, exactly.
I didn't understand the assignment.
Then this is going to be fun. Well,
so since you brought up John Wayne, one funny thing about John Wayne was his walk was so sissy. That a lot of theater heads,
that walk.
No, I'm serious. A lot of theater heads would say, you know, we need to retake that scene. We need to retake this scene, because if you watch him, he's got such a sissy walk. So for a long time, his main co-star was Marlena Dietrich, because she was so voluptuous and she was so feminine.
And it took all the focus off him.
Off his walk.
And she was a complete lesbian behind closed doors.
That made him walk a little tighter.
Gotta love old Hollywood.
I love that he had a swish to his walk.
Oh, he does. You have to watch, honestly. It's
Wait,
funny.
Wait, so you're saying he was a swishbuckler.
What? Oh, Lord. That was digging deep, honey.
That was not digging deep, honey. I went for the low-hanging fruit.
Honey,
that
fruit was on the ground. It wasn't low-hanging, honey. It was all the way on the ground.
Ain't no good. Throw it away.
I caught it when it was going for the ground. I was like, got it.
Oh, if you eat it off the ground, it'll get you drunk, though. Well.
So you know.
Well.
Just brush off those blowflies.
They'll be fine.
Exactly.
Some of us have competed against blowflies before.
Blow what?
You want me to blow what?
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm.
So anyways.
Right. Anyway.
So I just adore John Waters. I think he's so fun. He's such a bad boy, which I'm always excited about. I would prefer a better mustache, but I didn't get to vote on that.
Well, I think his mustache was actually part of the persona, or the sort of his shtick that he wanted to do. What I love about him is just so anti-normal. Whatever most normal filmmakers, producers do, he's going to go far left of that.
Absolutely.
Although I just gestured far right, but yes.
You have problems with that.
Go ahead, Jim.
Completely. I mean, he finds beauty in what everybody else, what the normal aspect of the world is like, rejects. And what everybody else thinks is so beautiful, that's what he always makes vile and evil, which I love.
Yes, totally. He brings it to the forefront.
I agree. And one of the things that I think about him is he always brings you what you don't think is expected. Whatever you expect, whatever society expects, that's exactly what he's not going to do.
And what's interesting now is that when it comes to John Waters and you think about him, now in the early days, yes, what you just said is true, but now it's like you don't expect John Waters to show up with like traditional fare. He's going to come at you with something different. And I think in the 80s, 90s, he was like, you know, I'm going to go a little mainstream on your asses. I'm going to turn this shit around, and I'm going to like, I'm going to do what some of the stuff he did. Serial Mom.
Serial Mom, Hairspray.
But what Pecker.
Crybaby. Yep. But I think one of the things is in his movies, even in the mainstream ones, what you think is going to happen doesn't happen. You look at Kathleen Turner in at the beginning of the movie and you think, oh my gosh, she's in a perfect marriage and she's such a wonderful housewife.
I mean, I knew within 2 minutes something's off about this bitch. Come on now.
But
I get your point.
But
yes.
What you find is she's anything but what you think she's going to be by the way she looks. So even with the later things that Divine was in, you learn to root for her. You learn that she's the hero.
Well, she's the anti-hero.
But she's sort of supposedly the pretty one. She's all these things that you don't visualize on the screen, yet that's what John is aiming for you to think she is. The stories are always fighting against what's popular.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in Hairspray, the plus size person is the popular person in the movie. The pretty beauty queen is not popular.
Wait, she's the bad girl. Not just bad girl, she's the bad guy.
Precisely. So it's taking that and just sort of saying, okay, now as you said there's a bigger budget.
Right.
And you do get Kathleen Turner, whom I absolutely adore. Call me Kathleen. I love you.
I love her.
I think most of us now know John from where he is now. Where did he start from?
Well, if we take it all the way back.
All the way back, Rob.
Roll it back.
I mean, he was obviously born in Baltimore, Maryland.
Which you would never know, since he never features Baltimore in any of his films.
I mean, Baltimore is just a footnote.
Never.
Sometimes Baltimore is the star.
Baltimore is 100% a character in every one of his movies.
Absolutely.
It is just a setting. It is a character.
Except for the trailer park from, what's the name of that movie?
Oh, from Desperate Living. Mortville, where they all have to go. Mortville.
Oh, my goodness.
But, you know, as we know, he was born in Baltimore, but he actually grew up in a smaller town outside of Baltimore called Lutherville. And Lutherville is where he actually met and became really good friends with Glenn Milstead.
Oh. A.K.A.
Divine.
Yes.
And Divine, you said it earlier, George, when we were talking, and you can say it now if you'd like, but Divine was to John Waters.
Oh, yes. What Sarah Paulson is to Ryan Murphy.
Hello. And
that is exactly 100% true.
It's the main collaborator. Yep. It's that muse. It's the person that you just, that you have on that same artistic level that you just can trust completely with your material and just know that they're going to run with it and do everything you imagined.
Totally. Almost every single movie he made had Divine featured in some way until Divine passed away. And John Waters' movies became also a vehicle for Divine as well. We should do a whole episode on Divine.
Well, do not think Divine is not going to be a Notorious G.A.Y.
Right?
That could be fun. But, you know, flash forward to where we are now. What I love about John Waters is that he actually has places in, he lives in San Francisco, New York, Provincetown, but he mostly lives in Baltimore, but he has all these different places that he goes to from all the time. I want that.
Totally agree. I love
San Francisco.
I feel like John Waters is like that eccentric gay uncle that everybody wishes they had.
Oh my God, you're exactly right. It's totally him.
And let's not forget that he was actually in an episode of The Simpsons. That's how pop culture he has become.
Yep.
Totally.
Law and Order.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. Not touched by an angel, though.
Well.
I'm pretty sure he wasn't.
Yeah, I see.
No Della Reese.
No Della Reese. Lainey Kazan was, but that's a different thing. So.
Oh, Lord, child, don't even get me started.
So, well, and I sort of laugh and I bring up Lainey Kazan because I did have to look this up because there's a movie with Divine and Lainey Kazan.
Oh, yes, of course. Lust in the Dust.
And I love that movie. And I actually thought it was a John Waters movie, and it is not. They did ask him to direct it, but he refused, or he turned it down because he said he didn't write it, so he didn't want to direct it.
And it
but
doesn't play, take place in Baltimore.
It doesn't take well, yet another reason to turn it down, because I love Baltimore. Let me say that one more time. I love Baltimore.
So if you're listening, Baltimore, right, and you'd like to sponsor our podcast,
right?
The sponsor. Visit Baltimore.
Sponsor.
I mean,
we love Baltimore.com. Let's do
it. As soon as we're ready to put this up, I'm going to be tagging all these people I follow in Baltimore on Twitter.
There you go.
I love Baltimore.
All right. Pop quiz. Trivia question. Do you know what John Waters' first film was called? The title?
No.
I don't.
Hag in a Black Leather Jacket.
That is my new favorite thing ever.
I might have a picture of that in for it. A donation of $20 to Patreon. We will be posting that.
Regal.
A regal hag in black leather.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
So and what year was a hag in black leather?
It was in the 60s. I'm going to say it's 1969, but don't quote me on that. I might delete this if that's not true.
It's, you know, it's a unique thing, though. I mean, John has really been at this a very long time.
Yes, yes.
And he did start out in what I might call shoot and scoot and all kinds of guerrilla type things.
Very much like that Andy
Warhol.
That was
also last weekend.
1964.
Oh, it was close enough.
Indie film, black and white. Can you guess where the movie was made?
Baltimore.
Oh, yeah. We're all winners.
Oh, my goodness.
So, other than Hag in a Black Leather Jacket, what is your favorite John Waters film, Rick?
Well, Desperate Living.
Oh, for sure. Well, that's a yes.
Yeah. But Pink Flamingos is also another favorite. I actually did kind of like Pecker, but it was a little commercial at the time.
Oh, it was commercial.
It was.
But commercial. I did like Pecker.
Pecker.
With Christina Ricci.
Yes, and Edward Furlong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that was after Christina might have been fingering some item. She was good publicity.
You are thinking
of... Oh, no, that's Winona Ryder.
They look very similar, but totally different people. They're all goth girl dream girls.
Okay.
I've been both of them for Halloween.
So, George, what's your favorite?
So, my... Gosh. I mean, I love Female Trouble.
Mm.
But the movie that I know the most about, because I've seen it so many times, is Cry Baby. Because my little sisters, for whatever reason, were obsessed with that movie, and we watched it so often.
Well, Johnny Depp is a reason to be obsessed about
it. You know what's funny? It wasn't about the Johnny Depp for them. It was
really?
About Tracy Lords. They thought she was so pretty. So that's probably my favorite. And you know, it's 1990s, and it was the movie, or 1990, and it's the movie that followed Hairspray. So it's the only movie he ever made that, like, there was a bidding war for studios to who was going to produce it and who was going to release it because everybody was expecting so much from it. And you know, it's that classic, like, star-crossed lovers, rich girl, poor boy love story. And it's great. It did not do well at the box offices. But most of his films, it's become a huge cult classic.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a huge ensemble cast. It has, like, Iggy Pop is in it. Ricky Lake is in it. Tracy Lords obviously is in it.
Yeah. Oh, Polly I have Bergen. A Tracy Lords story for later.
All right.
Coming up.
All right.
Patty Hearst is in it.
Yes.
Oh my God, I forgot that. Yeah. Right, because Patty Hearst was also in Serial Mom.
She's in Serial Mom.
So which is fun because it's again it's that those that alt culture, that counterculture that flocks to this kind of auteur where he makes that circle and he puts all these people in the films, which is so much fun.
So here's what I want to know. We need to find out. Jake, maybe you can find out.
Mm-hmm.
Patty Hearst. Did John Waters go to Patty Hearst and ask her to be in this film, or did someone from a studio ask her to do it? My gut tells me it was John Waters.
I'm sure it's not a studio. It has to have been him.
Oh, of course. Of course it is. I'm sure they met a
studio head producer or whatever. But
yeah, I don't think I just she'd kind been of feel anything
like,
else.
Well, I just kind of feel like he would go out of his way, be like, I want her.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
But it's, you know, and when you hire someone who has a history and has a name recognition.
An infamy, of course.
Infamy
then is
the word. That is just simply... Box office gold is free advertising.
Of course.
It's like, oh my stars, this person's in that?
I'm sure they met at some party. He's like,
I got a role
for you, honey.
I'm going to create a role for you. Yes.
You have to be in my next movie.
Precisely.
I'm John Waters.
Precisely.
I'm going to look that up at the rule.
So while Jake is looking up that, I am actually, I want to tell you my Tracy Lord story.
Which my sisters will love to hear because,
oh, I can't wait. Yes, call them right now. Get them on the phone.
Sam is at North Carolina.
They can hear it live.
Picture it. Long Beach Pride 2000X. I went down to Long Beach Pride. We were at this big dance party in the tent, and it was going crazy. Tracy Lord showed up to DJ for a little while, and she was the guest of honor. And then she started doing signatures for everybody. And so everybody was going up and having her sign t-shirts and body parts and all this different stuff. And I pulled out my credit card and handed it to her for her to sign it. And I swear to God, she went fucking ballistic. And she actually licked the side of my face and said, can we go shopping afterwards?
Uh-huh. Oh, I love it. Hey, you know, putting food in front of a hungry person. What kind of person are you?
And I was like, I would love Tracy Lords for the rest of my fucking life.
Now, did she not do adult entertainment?
That's where she comes from.
Yeah. Once upon a time, yes.
Which I love the fact that he said, okay, there again, name recognition. You've been in the news. Why not use you? And she's an actress.
Well, and I mean, I don't know if you know this, but her infamy from being in the adult entertainment industry comes not from being an adult entertainment actor, but the fact that she started when she was underage and faked her age. So there were movies that were released.
And not underage at like 17.
No.
This was much earlier.
I did not know that. I knew it was something, but I couldn't remember what it was.
That's where the infamy comes from with Tracy Lords.
Got it.
According to the Google search, John Waters sought her out 2 years ago at the Cannes Film Festival, I guess that's when he asked her. And she thought it was a joke. And then the script ended up being mailed her. And it was real.
And the rest is history.
I love it. He said, girl, have I got a role for you.
And he never called her Patty Hearst because obviously she was a victim of the kidnapping, right? So he called her Patricia.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, all right.
I learned a lot about that.
I love that.
Well.
An officer and a gentleman.
Right. Well, and then she comes back again in Serial Mom as well, and she has a decent sized part in that. And that's one of the things, though, you know, so at the end.
Why after Labor Day?
Precisely. And that is, so she runs into Serial Mom, and there's an issue because she's wearing white shoes after Labor Day. And it's just one of those things. It's these things we heard growing up that was so entrenched, you must not wear white after Labor Day or whatever. And, of course, John points this out in the film and uses it. It's just brilliant.
Speaking of white after Labor Day, this is totally off topic, but so are we. So I just heard this Southernism, which I'd never heard before, which was you can't wear velvet after Valentine's Day and before Christmas.
I disagree.
That's a very short velvet season.
No.
Well, I would agree with that if you think about it. You can't wear velvet in the summer.
No, you definitely can't.
That's
do that.
Nasty. Yeah. You get mushrooms. No.
Truffle pig.
Right? I totes agree
with
that.
But what if you keep your house at 60 like I do? I wear velvet all goddamn year long if I want to.
Well,
fuck
as
that.
Stevie Nicks said, I wear boots all summer long.
Well, none of us have the money Stevie has, and you have to go out eventually. I don't want to see that sweating. No. So. That's sort of a unique thing. I would, if you think about it, though, velvet's real big season is the winter.
That's true. Yeah.
And if you're in the South, that's a very short season.
Right?
So back to John Waters.
Lord Child, there was your little country road down to nowhere.
Y'all brought it up. I just went there.
Well, I think as soon as we tag John with this, then he'll put this in the next movie. You can't wear velvet after Valentine's.
Hello.
I'm sure that will happen.
Hello, John. Yes, well, it might.
Thanks, John.
It's a gift. You can have it.
Call you later.
So the dog licking the peanut butter off of Rosemary's toes just killed me. So let's just get right into the movie part.
Hi, I feel like this is your favorite John Waters film.
By far. I've seen maybe a third or a half of his films. The first one I saw was Polyester, and it was Scratch and Sniff. And I was in East Carolina, and they showed it there.
And oh, so you saw it in the theater when it was released.
Yes, when it was released.
Lord.
And so they passed out the scratch and sniff. And after the first one, I realized that I should wait and let other people scratch and sniff first.
To their reaction.
Because the first one was a bad one and everybody's reaction was crazy. And I'm like, oh, I'm not willing to be a guinea pig. So I was always a scratch and sniff behind everyone else, especially when they when they got to the dirty tennis shoes or whatever. Oh, my God, was that horrific.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure it wasn't like strawberry and popcorn.
No.
No, actually it was. So popcorn is one of them. So one of the scratch and sniffs, because they go to a theater,
well,
is
that's
popcorn.
After you do four rancid ones. Then you got to have the popcorn to reset everything. And then you go.
So you would always get one to sort of say, oh, well, maybe it's not that bad. And then, bam-o, there comes the next one.
Nate, I'm looking at you, Nate. If you're listening to this, we've had these conversations. Scratch and sniff, John Waters.
Yeah, Nate, I don't know you. I wouldn't scratch anything
either.
For Scott if I were you.
I don't know if you actually exist.
Right.
This is just Rick. Right. Shout out to his imaginary friends.
Exactly.
He scratched and sniffed the wrong one.
That reminds me, though, of like those Hogwarts Jelly Belly jelly beans.
Yes.
Where some of them were like earwax
really
flavor.
Gross. Yes. I tried three and I was like, ooh.
Right. I'm like, I'm not.
That's nasty. It's
completely.
That's nasty. Smelling is one thing, but putting it in your mouth another. I'm a lady.
Uh-huh. She ain't never put it in her mouth.
She ain't never been a lady either, honey.
Not really.
Once, twice, three times.
Of the evening, maybe.
Yeah, birdie bots.
Oh, yes.
Birdie bots, exactly.
Every flavor bean.
Exactly.
Well, that is sort of like if you get Jelly Belly jelly beans. I mean, the things you get out of there, some of those are like, that's a strange smell or a strange taste. So it's just crazy.
I love Jelly Belly.
I love them, too. I mean, I love jelly beans. And I have, what is it, ACDC or whatever. I have to line them up and color match them.
ACDC. You're psycho.
Whatever.
That's not ACDC. It's psycho. Okay.
Well, I just can't randomly eat jelly beans out of a bag. So I lay them out and I match them up color-wise. And then I pick. Oh, I do M&M's the same way. That's okay. I got time.
I just think
I'm single. What else I got to do but line up my jelly beans? Anybody want to help me not be single? Bring me jelly beans.
Well,
and you sort them out.
Locker in a box, honey. Locker in a box, a room. So, Jake, you actually, I think, have a little favorite movie or two of John Waters.
Well, Desperate Living, I saw. That was the most recent one I saw. I saw it with George and a friend of his at the time. And it was very. That was.
It's a lot. That's a lot of movie.
Queen Carlotta,
it is,
hilarious.
But you know, it's probably one of my favorites. It's just. Off the
it's
fucking
bizarre.
Wall, crazy.
Yeah, the way it starts, love like it. how she kills the husband.
Oh, it just
and the maid, like, Griselda.
I'm in for all of it. I love every goddamn thing about it.
But you say Queen Carlotta.
Yeah, I know. But
Edith Massey. Yeah.
Miss Tooth America, honey. Uh-huh. And by Miss, I mean Missing.
She is definitely my favorite of his cast of characters.
She's funny.
She's probably my least favorite because she scares the shit out of me.
But the first John Waters movie I saw was Hairspray.
Oh, yeah.
The 80 version with Ricky Lake.
The Divine version.
The Divine version.
I like that one better. The Travolta one's not bad, but I like the original one much better.
It was. I'm sorry.
Which one was Debbie Harry in?
The original.
I was born the year that it came out, and it actually was released in Baltimore on my mom's birthday, which is interesting. Also, I was conceived around the same time, so I don't know. Was it the John Cougar Mellencamp concert, or was it
Hairspray?
Good morning. Stop dating us right now.
Right. Good morning, Baltimore.
And then, I saw the version later on with Good Morning, Baltimore.
Yeah, the music is great.
The music's great.
Yeah, it is.
It's really good.
I'm not super keen on the John Travolta of it all.
I don't think I ever saw it. I had no desire.
I didn't dislike it. I saw part of the musical, just like TV retrospective, and was not overly fond of that. But the John Travolta one, it's not bad. No, it's just not divine.
He's not divine. You're right. And that's
as good as I think he did.
Yeah,
being dressed up and all. He still looked too much like John Travolta. It's, and that just didn't really work as well for me.
Well, it's like we talked about last time, like a few episodes ago, we're talking about Queen Latifah's Malin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Versus
you know,
Sally.
Exactly. And you know what you're in love with. You know what sticks true. And when you throw something in there that's different, it's like,
But
like,
can you imagine the money? I mean, honestly, you know, Travolta must have taken home a nice paycheck. Everybody on the... Because it was a big-time movie.
Yeah.
The remake was large.
Well, obviously, the remake was based on the Broadway play. That was based on the original movie. And in the Broadway play, like Harvey Fierstein was the Edna role. So it was Bruce Valanche.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It won, I think it won Bruce eight Valanche. Tonys.
Actually. Yes.
Yeah, I know.
And eight Tonys. Yeah,
did you wear a wig at least?
I don't know.
One better than the one he wears now, hopefully.
Did you know that Crybaby was also turned into a Broadway musical?
I did. Yeah. Yep.
It was nominated for four Tonys.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. But the movie didn't win four Tonys either. Or four Oscars or for whatever.
Oscar.
Yeah. That's it. It's, you know, look, it's, I think it's nice when something has a life of its own. The fact that it's been a movie twice and a Broadway musical, that's pretty darned awesome.
Yeah.
Not well, so many things touched some people along the way.
Yeah. Spanning generations. So.
Much totally like you, Danny, has touched people on the way.
I try, honey. I try through to leave my mark everywhere I go.
But before we move on to John Waters, I feel like there's one thing we should talk about is his love of books. Do you guys have any idea how many books this motherfucker has? Take a guess.
A lot.
Take a guess with a number. Throw a number.
Like as a book collector?
Yes.
More than you, George?
Probably.
I'd say 20,000.
Might be a little high. He's at 8,000.
Oh, okay.
8,000 books this
month. He has three homes to fill up, or four homes to fill up.
Four
homes to fill up with books. Yeah, that's
but
four
the
libraries.
Saddest thing about that is, oh, fuck, where did I leave that?
Let me buy it again.
Excuse me, which maid is on speed dial?
How many of them are the same book is the question, right?
Let me bring it up.
Yeah, but are they his book, or are they other people's books? Because didn't he write a book?
He did write a book, as a matter of fact. Nice segue. Thank you. Yeah, you saw right into that. Oh, you just took me right down that path, didn't you?
Look at me open that door for you, dear. Go ahead.
But the book that I have to admit I have not read yet, but I am dying to read, is the book he chronicled when he actually hitchhiked from Baltimore to San Francisco and wrote a book along the way. It's called Carsick. And I am just, who fucking writes a goddamn book when they're hitchhiking? I love everything about it. I want to read it. I can't fucking wait.
Well, I would like to know, is this when he was poor in the 60s? No. Or was this
last year? No, this is like in the past, past 10 years or something. Yeah. Actually, he was nominated for a Grammy in 2015 for the audiobook for this. This has been in the past.
So there you're driving down the road and you're like, oh my God, it's John Waters.
John fucking Waters. Get in the car, bitch.
Oh, you know, that's so funny. I would just speed up and lock the doors. I'd be like, you look like that John Waters guy. You're not getting in my car, honey. You'll think I'm Edith Massey. No.
See. Yeah,
2014 it was published.
Wow. Oh, was it 2014?
2014 originally published. Yeah.
No. Could you imagine it's raining out there and he's standing on the side with his fake rat on his shoulder waiting
to be picked
up?
Bitch, get in the car. Let's go.
So, y'all,
I
feel like it might be time for a cocktail.
Praise the Lord.
Now honey, it was time for a cocktail about 20 minutes ago.
Well, we had to explore all the notoriousness of Mr. John Waters and the fact that he has given us so many cinematic, unforgettable moments that were just shocking, repulsive, and enlightening all at the same time. I mean,
absolutely. And especially given the time frame he was doing all of this, he went against the grain, and that's what makes him notorious.
So we need to go and raise a glass to the notorious GAY, Mr. John Waters.
I totally agree.
I'm on board. Can we do two glasses, though?
<That's right. laughs> Meet you on the front porch, y'all.
See y'all in a minute. Welcome outside, y'all. Look at that sunset.
Hi.
It's pretty, ain't
it? It's right pretty outside.
I mean, it's almost like a kaleidoscope.
It's like a kaleidoscope.
Speaking of, Daniel, what are these beautiful drinks you've made today?
These are a kaleidoscope.
Look at that.
What a coincidence.
It just sort of flows right into it. And no one knew what it was before.
No, they didn't.
I love it.
They are, but they're really pretty. They're so colorful.
Thank you.
Take a look at my kaleidoscope.
It's sort of like going to the Circus tent. Come on.
Or doing acid.
Well, that wasn't
exactly my experience at the circus tent. But okay, we've had that story.
Listen, oh, yes, carny. We've heard about the carnies.
Cheers, y'all.
Cheers, y'all.
Mm. Oh, wow. That's like it burst in your mouth like a kaleidoscope.
Pop rocks.
Oh, honey, y'all going to have to look at the social. Honey, I'm going to have all the pictures and the recipe on there, but you're going to have to look at the social.
So I can't ask you anything about this drink right now, can I?
You can tell me how pretty it is.
But I can't ask you what's in it.
Well, no, ma'am. No.
All right. No, well, I will say this. It is delicious.
It's a surprise.
Oh, and it's beautiful.
And it explodes in your mouth.
Nothing ever does that.
That will bring all the boys to the yard.
See? That's what we call milkshake, baby.
Right. Mm-hmm. I thought it was my milkshake. But
what's that sound?
Oh, my God. She's digging in the honey pot.
Ooh, shake, shake, shake. Shake, Sonora. Shake, shake, shake. Shake, Sonora.
What?
It's more like shake and bake. And I help.
I steak and shake, honey.
Oh, it'll do you proud every time. Crisco.
I mean, Rick's never had any complaints.
Well,
Crisco.
Get in where you can fit in, honey.
Surgical gloves.
No, honey. We don't do surgical gloves. We do leather.
Excuse me. Vinyl?
Hag in black leather jacket.
Hag in a black leather jacket. Yes.
Bring it back.
Supple.
I am just not like that as I've got my feet tucked under me and I'm touching my pearls.
Oh, look who's the Charlotte now.
Oh, my
stars. Charlotte Ruse. All right. What do we got, honey? What do we got?
Jake.
Let us have it.
What fictional character resonates most with you?
Oh.
Oh. Well, I don't even know. I mean, Ripley? Shut up, bitches. From Aliens? Come on.
Believe it or not, honey.
The first time.
Greatest American hero. Yeah.
Believe it or not, I'm walking on air.
Exactly. Tum, tum,
tum. I love everything about it.
No. I think we should change this topic a little bit. I think we should change it to what John Waters' character resonates most with.
Let's bring it back around. I'm
agree,
in.
Jacob?
Agree.
Okay.
All right, fine.
There's no rules to this.
There is no rules to the honey pot.
Except it has to have honey.
Yeah.
Well, except probably you have to reach in real deep.
And you got to lick it real good.
Again, I'm the Charlotte in the crowd today. Feet tucked in and touching pearls.
I'm so excited. I've graduated to Carrie.
I never thought I'd be Charlotte, but okay.
Well, who wants to start?
Samantha. All right, fine. Queen Carlotta is my favorite, honey.
Oh, yes, honey. Hey, stupid.
Hey, ugly. You got your clothes on backwards.
See? I mean, that's me.
This is fun.
That's me walking into work on a Monday morning and like, what?
My favorite part is she makes the guy bend over her lap. She gives him a spanking. She throws him off and says, "You better not have left any pecker tracks on my gown."
Oh, my goodness. I don't mind pecker marks on my gown, but I'm just saying.
Those aren't pecker marks, though.
As long as it's between Christmas and Valentine's, I'm good to go with the pecker marks on my gown.
Oh, Lord,
it's
child.
Velvet.
Not on the
velvet. Velvet.
Not on the crushed velvet. No.
It's crushed velvet.
No, honey, we don't do
that.
That
shit can't get out.
Velveteen.
I'm not a fucking rabbit.
That's right. Well, who are you, Dan? Which character are you?
Oh, of course I'm Beverly Sutphin. You know? I mean, honestly.
Well, Beverly, you have a little duty on your shoe.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Shut up. Don't start already.
So what attracts you to that character?
I think the fact that she's pretty and her voice is deeper than mine. And I just think that Kathleen Turner worked the hell out of that.
And
so,
Kathleen Turner could do no wrong. I'm sorry. In every fucking role.
I totally agree with you on that.
Even in V.I. Warshawski or whatever.
V.I. Warchowski.
Whatever that fucking show was. Yeah.
That one. So
that was her worst movie, I think. Well,
I loved that.
According to Rotten Tomatoes,
it's certainly not her best one. No, I agree. But I actually like that.
Beauty
one,
is in the eye of the beholder, so let's not forget that, especially in the world of John Waters.
Exactly. No, it's a good point. You're exactly right.
Thank you. I like to make good points.
So, So Hang on, just before you get to that, I got to figure out. Y'all have made me totally lose my line. So goddamn.
Pussy Willow. Pussy
yeah, that's right. Pussy Willow, Dottie Hinkle. She just kills me. Fuckface.
Is this 555? Fuckface!
No, 555. Fuck you!
It's just 212. Fuck you!
She just goes on and on and on. And it's like, her big thing is she's all about recycling. And the people that don't recycle, she has to kill.
I mean... humanitarian.
Well, and then there's that famous bathroom scene, you know, with the guys chucka chucka chucka.
No, it's not a bathroom scene. It's a bedroom scene, and it's Justin Whalen, and he's jerking off underneath the covers. I don't know who. Do you jerk off under the covers? I don't. I'm like,
only when filmed.
The whole world can see this. But he's jerking off under the covers, and she comes in and kills him because he's jerking off. Oh, probably because he's jerking off underneath the covers. I probably
they were expensive sheets. I understand.
3,000 thread count. Fuck it.
I feel like that would get in the way.
I mean, exactly. I'm like, who fucking jerks off under the covers?
The covers.
Thank God I'm downstairs and can't see your windows. Nasty hole.
Well, that's all right. I got 9 cameras set up like the Matrix camera spread, so you can see it in 360, honey. It's all good. I got it.
You need to cancel your OnlyFans account because they're getting rid of porn. As of today, that was announced.
I saw that. I was like,
what are y'all going to do now?
God damn. So I'm going to go pay my rent.
So here's the funny thing about that. And where's Tumblr now? I mean, honestly.
It died.
Precisely. I mean, honestly. You've got to have what you're good at. OnlyFans.
Well, it was because people were prostituting
themselves.
What about all these boys I've been supporting?
Really?
I agree with you, but I have to say that whole thing about like they made their millions off the back of sex workers, and now they're like, nope, we're taking it away because now backers.
They're going to fail. There's something for everyone.
What's that going to be like Patreon now, right? Where it's just you're supporting people for their
OnlyFans will just move to another platform, and that's what it will become.
It's going
to
lighten up.
But OnlyFans itself will die a horrible death, and we'll 100%. All laugh while it happens.
100%. And I feel like John Waters would join this conversation. Yeah,
right. Right. And Beverly would say, you're a dirty fucking whore.
Really? You're a cocksucking whore.
My pet rant's my only fan.
What'd you do with your own hand?
Mm-hmm. My pet rat's my only fan.
You call it a rat, honey? I call mine
she's
tiny.
She's talking about the rat that John Waters...
I know what he's talking about.
No, that's what I named my dick.
Rat?
My pet rat.
R-A-T-T.
Give it a little slap when I want to wake up. You know, you can edit that out if you want to.
Right.
So, George.
Yes,
what is
Rick?
Your favorite John Waters character?
So 100%, without doubt, the character that I relate to the most is Debbie Harry in Hairspray as Velma Von Tussle. She's the pageant mom.
I agree. I love Debbie Harry.
She is so type A. She knows exactly what she wants. She knows that she'll do anything to get it. And she has no patience for her child. If you're not going to be the exact person I want you to be, I have no patience for you.
Precisely.
100% Debbie Harry.
The only downside about that is, really, you married Sonny Bono? Really?
But you also have a bomb in your wig, so come on.
I'd take a bomb in the wig over Sonny Bono.
I mean, she probably put the bomb in her wig on the day that she married Sonny Bono. But
you do the things you have to do for money.
And to get ahead and get your daughter at the head of the beauty contest.
Amen.
Or the dance contest.
Amen.
Or whatever they were doing.
So that's the one I definitely relate the most to.
And there again, there's a person that is a household name. There's somebody that's recognizable. There's someone who's in the news because of who they were at that time. And to capitalize on using Debbie Harry as the actress in this is absolutely brilliant.
Well, that's why John Waters is good at what he does. He's
a notorious G.A.Y.
Yes, he is. What about you, Jacob?
Well, I was going to say Wade Walker.
Oh, crybaby himself. Crybaby.
However, right now I kind of feel like I'm John Travolta. I'm just putting a wig on and playing this role. They're going to pay me well.
Well,
I'm going to do my
curly
best
bob.
Anyway.
That's so cute. Right?
Put my little eyelashes on.
I think you've channeled John.
Well, where's the checks? Where are the checks?
Right, where are the checks, baby? Where are the checks?
Well, all right, we've talked about John Waters, but let's go back to Jake's original question. What is your favorite fictional character of all time? I'm kind of curious.
Oh, gosh. I feel like that's hard because I feel like there's so many that I've loved over the ages. Like, I love Christina Ricci in The Addams Family. I love Wednesday Addams. I love Winona Ryder in Beetlejuice. Lydia Deetz, like, I felt that was my spirit animal in high school.
Creepy gothy girl.
Creepy gothy girl. Exactly. Yeah, Fairuza Balk and The Craft. Like, it's
Fairuza, yeah. Yes.
So.
Wait, did you see the new movie, though?
We're not going to talk about The Revisit.
Yeah. We should do that one night, though, because I got some.
Maybe we don't.
I have some thoughts.
We all have thoughts.
And some of them should be kept inside.
Most of them not good.
So, Dan, what about you?
So my character is not a TV character. I mean, even though she does appear on TV, it's probably Miss Jane Marple from
Agatha Christie.
There's something
Miss Marple.
We do.
There's something about seriously my personality and Marple's personality that I understand. I understand what Agatha wrote in the fact that there are people that you meet in your life that are just like someone else you've already met before, and simply watching that be woven into a piece of fabric and not fighting against it. I don't want to make someone be like someone else, but when you meet someone, you've often already met them before, just in a different form. And I love that Christie brings that out in Marple. She's always seen someone who reminds her of someone else.
Rick.
Well.
He's going to say Ripley.
It's going to be that good witch.
I can't say Ripley. No, actually, I was going to go to Good Witch.
Somehow I'm not surprised.
I do find something about that fucking character.
Are you Cassie?
I feel like I could be a Cassie in another life. I love how she always finds the best way out of a situation. She finds the best resolution to something. And to me, that's something I aspire to be. That's not to say that I do that every single day of my life, because you guys know 3 hours ago I called you and was like, I'm fucking over this. I hate this.
And Kathy would never say that.
But she is something that I aspire to, in that she doesn't let that part of herself take over. That's what I would love to be at some point. It's never going to fucking happen.
Yeah, I don't see you as like the silver lining girl. I see you much more as like the Abigail.
Now, I do love me some Abigail. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, now comes the truth,
but
honey.
But the truth of the matter is, at the end of the day, when I go to bed at night, I want to be Cassie.
All right.
Just no one wants to be Stephanie that runs the diner.
No. Fucking hell no. Maybe her boyfriend, though.
I don't know, Jake. Do you know? I don't care about that damn bird. Really? I don't care about the bird at all. I've seen that damn bird. They showed us that 87 times. Yeah, that one right there.
Every time. Passed by on Netflix.
Screech, screech. Every time I stop, Jacob's like, nope, not this show.
Totally agree, and I've not even watched it.
So, Jacob.
I, unlike the three of you, don't have a lady character I resonate with.
Whatever, bitch.
But
I guess we did.
If I'm going to stick to the question kind of, you know, directly, what character, fictional character I resonate with, I'm going to say Luke Skywalker.
Oh. Thank God it wasn't Spock.
Uh-huh.
Why? Because I have.
Let me see your hands.
Because I'm generally a good guy. However, I always have this struggle with bad, wanting to be the bad boy, wanting to do bad things and let my emotions take the best of me. And it happens quite often.
So you're Sookie.
I guess you're right. If I think about it, however, I thought of Luke because I always liked space and the force.
That's true.
Force.
It was,
but you know, I guess Sookie Stackhouse is a good example as well, because she also does whatever the hell she wants, and she has absolutely no qualms with that.
Sookie Stackhouse, though, she's like, fuck you, I don't care if you like it or not.
Exactly.
No, I mean, actually, I'm gonna do what I want.
I'm not like that, though. I might think about it. She has absolutely. She's like, I'm just gonna go and do my thing.
Yeah, excuse me.
Well, and again, this is someone you aspire to be, not someone that you.
Well, that's why I was sticking with the. That's why I was sticking with the, like, who I feel like I resonate now. If I aspire to be, if I'm sticking along the same lines, I would rather be Darth Vader, who is the most powerful being. I'm sticking with Star Wars. Thanks.
You are pushing it hard. Okay, I'm gonna let you have it.
As long as we don't have to talk about that damn blackbird, I don't care.
I'm pretty sure it's a peregrine falcon.
It's a falcon.
It's a peregrine falcon.
Because they
it's
just
not
lie.
A peregrine. I stayed at one of those. It is not.
They do in this town, where no one ever spends any money.
I stayed in one of those, and
I've never seen a fucking episode where they've ever spent money.
Nothing bad or anything terrible happens in that show. It's just woo-hoo.
Nobody buys anything in her shop. I don't know how it stays open.
I was like, how does she make any fucking money? She gives everything away.
I think David Rose would shut her down, honey. Shut her down. Shut her down.
It's Moira Rose is the one I would aspire to be, honey.
Oh, there is.
That's good.
I want to set that one up.
You are after a few Moscow mules.
I'm Moira Rose on the wine commercial, honey. It was like
Herbert Linger. No, more like when you're stuck in the closet for a week, you don't want to come out.
Fold it in. You just fold it. You fold
Save
it.
My wigs. Save my wigs.
You know what's interesting? Like, the character that I love the most, that I would most like to be on that show, is Alexis.
Of course you would.
Because Alexis has the biggest character arc.
You are absolutely right about that. She talks does. About that.
Yeah, she comes out like, she learns, and she becomes a whole new person. Yeah.
I mean, she gets a degree, and she becomes...
She starts off
as
something totally different, and then becomes this.
All I know is the men she passed up, I would happily take seconds. Whatever.
Or thirds or fourths or whatever. Like, precisely. Who cares?
Dennis Daddy, he's good to go. And the barn man, he's good to go. All dims.
Yeah.
Bring them. Mm-hmm. Bring them.
Yes, my kaleidoscope is empty.
Mm-hmm. It is. The color has run all the way out.
Bone dry.
Can you paint with all the colors of the wind?
Okay. Not right now.
See?
Hopefully not, anyway.
Shall we toddle?
Yes. Let's go back in and make another kaleidoscope.
Let's do it.
Yes.
All right, y'all. We'll see you next week.
Yes.
Bye,
you guys.
Bye.
Thank you all for joining us in this week's Notorious episode.
So gay.
Tell us what you think on Twitter at Queer Magnolias. And on Instagram and Facebook at Queer Magnolias Podcast. And for more, check us out anywhere you find your podcast on Spotify, iHeart, and Apple Podcasts, just a few of them to mention. All right, see you next time.